Well, the message that the Lord put on my heart today is to watch your words. And we spoke about that before, and we're going to review a couple of things, but we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to train us to be much better at how we're doing. And we always want to progress, right? We want to grow to that next level. And that was in my heart. And so the Lord showed me these things, and I want to share them with you. Not to say that I have complete victory in this area, as my husband might say, you know, sometimes if he's annoyed by something that I said, he might say, with all due respect, honey, right? But we help each other to catch what we're doing. Sometimes it's so automatic, you know, and we've learned stuff from our past, or we've learned other doctrines from other churches, and we don't realize that, you know, that word is a washing and renewing our minds. We don't realize when we do these things how much we need a soundboard, someone to say, hey, how am I doing in this area? I think I'm doing great, but people might think I'm doing awful. Depends on what end you're at, the giving or the receiving end. And many of us have a difficulty realizing that when the people are receiving what we're saying, it may not come across the way we intend. Is that a true statement? Right? And so how would we ever know if no one told us? Then you couldn't change it, could you? Even if you wanted to, because you're unaware. And how many times have we been taught by ABC, it's the unaware sins that affect us the most, right? So I give permission to people in my life that love me to let me know if something is not going right, so therefore I can work on fixing it, okay? And if I don't do that, especially the people that advise me, then I'm not valuing the gifts that God gave me. Because he sent those people into my life for a reason. And if I think they're just beating me up and correcting me and beating me up with corrections, that's a wrong attitude, because God says he corrects those who he what? Loves, right? But if the corrector isn't loving, it's not a great way to receive it, right? So we need to become more loving when we are also observing other people that we love, because we want them to do the same to us, do unto others, right? As you would have them do unto you. So it's our words that affect our lives, other people's lives. It's the tone of voice and the manner in which we deliver those words, even if we may be right. It's the heart motive of why we're doing something. It should be to help someone, to love someone. And that's my heart motive. And sometimes people are so absolutely unaware. But you know what? To my knowledge, I have never told someone something that's a correction unless they have asked me first. And a lot of times they forget. But it doesn't matter if they forget. If they ask me and then God prompts in my heart to do so, I do it. And a lot of people will forget. But I know that I have to be obedient to the Lord, because it's a loving thing. And I've seen the fruit. And the fruit has come where they have either been able to change more, progress, or get better cleansing. Something has happened through that. A lot of times I'm looking at my own sins and I'm saying, Lord, what do I need to change? And then if I can't see something, I'll go ask my husband, I'll go ask someone else, or if I've done something that I'm unaware of, I ask the Holy Spirit to correct me on a regular basis. Why? Because if I don't make course corrections, I can't reach my goal. Remember when Pastor Bill Winston was telling us about his flying from LA to Chicago, and if they're just a little bit of a degree off from the longitude and latitude of departure to their arrival point because of the tailwinds or headwinds or different turbulence, that instead of ending up in Chicago, if they're not monitoring on a regular basis, even the autopilot, they'll end up in the Bahamas. Just a little bit of degree off. And so we might all think that we're doing all great, but we need checkups, right? So ask the Holy Spirit to send someone into your life that is loving, that is kind, that has good motivation, that will be able to assist you, to show you things, and don't receive it with disdain. Don't say, oh, brother, you know, here they go again. You know, all they want to do is criticize me. And sometimes in criticism, there might be some truth. But we also have to make sure we don't walk in assumptions, because as every scientist knows, you can't just assume something. You need to go prove it out. And you need to talk to both parties, like it says in Matthew 18, see what's going on, and then let each party see what their perspective is, because it might be totally skewed. And if you've never talked together, you will never find out the truth. The truth sets you free. Most people run from confrontation. God's a confrontational God. How many of us, with a show of hands, can say, God has corrected me many times in my life? And if he didn't, we wouldn't even be saved. He had to correct us to tell us that we didn't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That was the major big correction. I thank him that he loved me enough to tell me I needed Jesus as my Savior. I had to repent. I had to turn away. I had to change the way I was talking and behaving. I had to want to serve him and say with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord, my Master, my Savior. But so many times we don't allow him to also be the Lord of our words, the Lord of what's in our heart, the Lord of what's in our mind. We just say any thought that comes to our mind. We just let our tongue rattle off, and then it's like, oops, I wish I didn't say that, and it's hard to retract that, you know? Or you hear someone putting their foot in their mouth. I used to do that a lot. You don't have to raise your hands to agree if you did it too. But many times, we are doing things impetuously, or we misjudge, or we just automatically hear something and think the worst of somebody instead of go and pray and go talk to the person and see what was going on before you assume something. Okay? So our words also have to be seasoned and gracious, but with good timing as well. So we are going to learn more about how God wants us to watch our words. And this has been helping me a lot in my life, mainly because it was one of the hardest things for me to learn. So I really worked on it. And I'm still working on it. And I'm still going to continue working on it every year of my life. And hopefully I'm getting better and better and better. A, watch your words by practicing control of the tongue. One, you will have what you say, Mark 11:23. Now, whether or not you believe you're going to have what you say, do you know a lot of ungodly people are very successful because they keep saying over and over and over what they're going to achieve? And you know what? It comes to pass, because it doesn't matter who uses these spiritual laws, it works. Okay, so when you think of, let's think of anything that you have done successfully in your own life right now. Just think in your brain and look at all the successful things you've done. Have you along the way, before you became successful, said, oh, I am going to do this and this. I'm going to become a doctor. I want to be a teacher. I want to have kids. I want to get married. There's a lot of things that we have said along the way in our lives that we've accomplished because we kept saying it. And so now if we're going to look at a spiritual law that whatever people say happens, and it could be good or bad, how much more when we start to implement more of the Word of God into our tongue, that we'll be more successful because the Word of God goes forth to accomplish that which it's sent to do. So I'm learning to speak less of my own words and speak more of God's words. I'm learning to replace my conversation with more of what he says as opposed to what I think or say. Okay? And so when we look at that, no man can tame his own tongue, according to James 3:8. So God needs to tame our tongue. And that's why in ABC, we affirm in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart pleasing to him. Because if it's not pleasing to him, then it's pleasing to the devil. And I don't want to please the devil anymore. I have come out of the world and I want to become more like Jesus. And I'm sure the rest of us want to do that, right? So I have to then really concentrate on this area of my life, of my words. And we, number three, do not speak bad words of negativity or fear, doubt, or unbelief. And I want to go look at some of those. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Ephesians 4, 29. And in the King James Version, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, which means building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So if we start judging ourselves and saying, oh, did what I just said, was that edifying? But let's back it up even more. We should now start to say, before I say anything, is it going to be edifying? And then I think in my mind, well, it may not be the appropriate timing, or they may not be ready to hear that, or why don't I just go pray for them? I mean, there's a lot of things that we want to just say because we're spontaneous people and we're emotional, you know? But we have to learn to walk in patience as well, to make sure that our words are going to be put to good use and not to hurt someone else. So I'm learning to be more patient of what I say and how I say it. And that's something that the Lord's teaching me. And Ephesians 5, 4, let's go there. So chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, there's a lot of jokes out there, and some of them aren't very good. I know CNN has called somebody a buffoon, and people from different countries started saying the same thing because they read that article and heard them say that. And I don't think it's the job of the news media to be insulting people. I think it's their job to be neutral and just give you the news. And so I want to be a neutral person to not insult people. That's not what God wants us to do. Even if we are correcting somebody, it shouldn't be demeaning. It shouldn't be embarrassing. It shouldn't be rude or unkind. That's not God's way. And so I don't want to be joking about other people, especially if they are going through a problem, or even if it is true. I don't want to be that kind of person, because God doesn't joke at us when we do something and we blow it. He doesn't make fun of us. Why do we think we change? Because doesn't he come to you gently and lovingly, and he shows you, and then you go, oh, thank you, Lord, right? Well, we want to all be like Jesus. We want to be all the way that God does things, right? And so we don't want to speak bad words of fear. So let's go to John 14. And we may not have time to go to all these scriptures, but you can look these up yourself. This is a really good word study on watching our words. So John 14, 27. You know, it's very important that we don't walk in fear. Because when you walk in fear, you can't be walking in faith. You can't do both at the same time. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So when you're walking in peace of God, there's no fear there. But see, when there's anxiety, when people are overwhelmed, when there's stress, then what's the first thing that's going to come in? Fear. And that fear is going to attack our words. And then it wants words of fear to come out. And as words of fear come out, guess what it's going to do? It is going to destroy whatever we're trying to do. Because they're not words of faith. And without faith, we can't please God. So therefore, if we're in fear, we're pleasing the devil. I don't want to be in a fear anymore. That's not the way God made us. I want to have my words and my heart be full of faith and full of the peace of God so that I could speak God's word over a scary situation. Regardless if it looks scary, God's word's going to make it unscary. Amen. And let's have the devil be scared of us. Yes. When we speak God's word, that we don't run from the devil, but he runs from us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we're learning. Walk in dominion, right? Okay. We're not going to have bad words of doubt. As we all know, it says in Mark 11, 23, because we all really know that scripture. So I'm going to jump to John 20:27. If you're an ABC-er, you know Mark 11, 22, 25, and 26 very well. So we're going to go to John 20:27 to remind us of what other scriptures say, okay? Then he, meaning Jesus, then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither." Okay, let's back up to 26. "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut." So he walked through the walls. "And stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" So right away, he was dispelling fear when he spoke that, okay? "Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" See, we don't want to have doubt. We don't want to not believe. And because Jesus knew Thomas wasn't believing, he wanted to show him. And we're going to go to 28. "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Then he believed it was Jesus. Only when he could prove in the natural. But then Jesus in 29 said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." So that's good. "But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So you have so much faith because you believe in a God you have never seen. You believe in a Savior. You didn't see him go down to hell. You didn't see him resurrect. You didn't go touch his wounds in his hands and in his side. But you received him and believed him, and he's now your Lord and Savior. Oh, how great faith have you. God wants me to remind you, you have great faith. Don't let the devil bring doubt to you and make you think that you cannot accomplish what God wants you to accomplish because you already have the greatest faith as being his child, his adult child. Just let that faith, that same faith, keep rising up in the face of adversity. No matter what challenges are in your life right now, your faith is great. Your faith is sufficient. God has given you that measure of faith, and it's growing and it's growing. And I don't care what the devil's trying to do to you in your life. He will not succeed because you have the God kind of faith, and God believes in you, and God's word is in you. And he is well pleased with where you have come so far. And he wants you to know that today. The devil is so busy beating people up with, you should be better and you should be farther and you should be doing this and doing that. But what about the good things you've already done? God sees it and it pleases him. And he loves you. And the way for someone to keep going isn't to beat them up with words of criticism, but to edify with words of faith and encouragement and motivation and inspiration. And today, God says he believes in you. That before you chose him, he chose you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So don't let those negative words that are coming to you, the words of negativity and doubt and fear and unbelief that every day tries to bombard our minds, affect you. They're all lies of the devil. Recognize what God has done in you, for you, and through you. And don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Shake yourself loose of all those things the devil would have tried to bind you up, because it's not true. What is true is the word of God is working inside of every one of you and doing exactly what God intends. Be patient, because his word is changing every one of our lives. Amen. And we're going to go to Matthew 13:58. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, he wanted to heal every person, except for in 57, it says, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of what? Unbelief. So when fear, doubt, and unbelief, negativity try to attack us, then we won't see the miracles in our lives. It stops them. It is a roadblock. And so if he couldn't do miracles because of unbelief, you don't think that the devil sees that that's a way he could try to attack us, right? So we have to affirm the word over and over and over, because it builds up our faith. And as we build our faith up, then our belief system becomes part of our core and becomes automatic. And then it doesn't matter what bombards us. It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to do against us, we're going to stand strong. We are going to achieve what the word says that we can achieve, regardless of what's coming against us. Amen? Now, B. So that's watching your words and practicing the control of our tongue, okay? Now, B is watch your words, and watch your words make you become more successful than you are now. It is like watching a little seed that you plant in your garden, and then you water it, and then you watch it come up to a little tiny sprig, and you get all excited because it's like it didn't die on you, you know? And then it's all green, and then pretty soon it shoots up bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it flowers, and you're watching the watering of the water. So the Word of God is like that. It waters us. The washing of the water of the Word of God. And you're going to watch more fruit develop. You're going to watch it become bigger. You're going to watch it become more abundant. You're going to see areas in your life that you could never achieve success and become successful as you don't give up speaking the Word of God over that thing in your life on a regular basis. And when the devil tells you, stop preaching the word over yourself, stop speaking it over yourself, it's one of those doubt and unbelief. It's not going to work. Look how long you've been doing it. For 40 years, your husband is still blah, 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 blah. But the word is doing something. You don't know what it is, but you got to believe it. And if you don't stop watering your life with the Word of God, you will see many blossoms and you'll see many beautiful harvests of fruit come to pass in every single area of your life. Okay? So your tongue is the key to success, as it says in Proverbs 18:21. And you speak, now this is what I call, speak good God words. Okay, sometimes we speak our own words and we're wondering why things aren't going right. We don't even catch ourselves. That's where we say, you know what? I'm going to pick a scripture that applies to this thing in my life and I'm going to apply it to that. Like, we all know the basic ones, you know? Instead of someone saying, you know what? I'm budgeting and I can't afford that, the person would say. They have just canceled, made null and void any provision that God has ever done in their life. And instead of saying that, you need to say, you know what? I'm going to water this situation with the Word of God till I see the manifestation and the money that God has in my bank account come into my hands. So I'm going to keep saying, in the name of Jesus, my God has provided all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We don't really have to say in the name of Jesus for that one because it has Christ Jesus in that verse. But if I keep saying, my God has provided all of my needs even means eyeliner. All of my needs even means a new car, not a used junky old car, or get an engine rebuilt instead of go get a car that is older and cheaper and in worse condition. Providing for all my needs means I can live in a nicer place for a cheaper price. Providing for all my needs means, you know what? Even though I have X amount of money in my budget and it can only buy me the things I do not like, because the things I really like are pricier. You know what? I'm going to believe that God's going to even be able to help me enjoy what I eat and give me more money. Whatever it is, it's important to you. It's important to God. Don't think there's anything too small to ask him for. But you don't have to ask him for provision when you know he's already given it to you and it's yours. You just have to keep watering the situation. Do I have to say, God, please give me a plant when the plant is already in my garden? That would be dumb. But I have to keep watering that plant. It's already my plant. And I'm watering it with the word. I don't have to ask him for the plant. So I don't have to ask him for more money because it's already mine. I just water it with the word of God by saying, my God has already provided all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that I have X amount of money per month in the name of Jesus. And you know what? It starts to come to pass. If you're patient and don't give up while you're watering, because if you stop watering that plant, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start shriveling up. And if you say, oh my, I forgot to water my plant, you go back and water it and you revive it, right? And then you pray a lot over it. And then it comes back up. But if you haven't watered it for a year, that thing's not coming back up. You got to plant a new seed. Do you understand what's going on with your finances? Do you understand what's going on with your health, your wealth, your well-being and everything? We can't stop watering and we have to revive what has dried up through negativity, doubt, fear, and unbelief that the devil has brought into our lives. Okay? It's already yours. You have what you say. And if you say, I can't afford that, guess what you just did? You just received what you said. And so the shipment that was coming from heaven on your faith bridge has now stopped. Can't get to you because you just canceled it. So you repent for saying that. Cancel, make null and void those words in the name of Jesus and put them under the blood of Jesus. You say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null and void any word that doesn't line up to the word of God that I spoke or that anyone else spoke against me and this situation. And I put it all under the blood of Jesus. And now I speak the word of God over my situation. And I say that my God has supplied all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I just felt that faith level just arise even greater. And your mustard tree just got bigger. Faith of a mustard seed. You are growing great trees of faith. Hallelujah. And any time that happens, we're going to cancel, make null and void, and start over rewatering. Okay? That's all you got to do, right? Hallelujah. So that is speaking good God words. Get it? That are positive, uplifting, and edifying. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Hallelujah. See, when you are speaking God's word, you really can sense the anointing because the anointing is on the word of God, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Edify means to build one another up. So God is telling us that we have to build each other up because it comforts each other. How often do we go out of our way saying, I'm going to build somebody up today? Not a lot of people, right? But I think we need to do that. I think it's a good thing to start doing. You know, God started showing me, you know, surprise somebody with a blessing. Do something unusual for somebody. Do something they're not expecting. Say something to them. You know, write them a card. Make them a card. Do something, you know, even just a nice text. Even a phone call. And if they're not home, leave them a message. I just wanted to tell you I love you today. That's it. With no strings attached, whatever. Isn't that a good thing? Don't you like it when people do that to you? So God started showing me we needed to be people in our church do that for each other. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so that's very positive and uplifting and edifying. And we need to be filled with faith from our heart, like it says in Mark 11, 22 to 25. And we need to have words of love. Let's go to Romans 12, 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly or sisterly love, in honor, preferring one another. And so we see that when we are walking in love, there's no place for evil or the devil to use us, because we are letting God use us instead. Amen? So if our words are loving, then we know that we're on the right track. And D, with patience and teaching, we need to help others. 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy. Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and all longsuffering, with all longsuffering and doctrine. It means be ready to help correct somebody. It means help them when they might be doing something they're unaware and going off in another direction, or not doing something that's according to the word. Assist them. And when you exhort them, it's to encourage them, hey, you can get back on track, okay? And with all long suffering, why? Because during the time that they're doing something to bother you, people suffer until they change. That's what I think. All right? But during that time, we need the patience to pray for them, because God was patient with us so that we could change, right? You know, and I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, because it's so important that we walk in love. And that when you read the love chapter, you see how we should be treating each other. Tender-hearted, kind, not rude, not unbecoming. The things that stick out in my mind the most in that list. And people are apt to follow you or help you or want to be there for you when you love them through it. When you show them that love and that kindness, then they want to do it to love you back. Right? Hallelujah. So we need to have patience and teaching to help others, according to 2 Timothy 4:2. And of course, our words, like I said, need to be gracious to the hearers, according to Ephesians 4:29. Now we can watch your God words change your life once you've practiced control of your tongue, and then using your tongue to make you more successful. Now your life's going to change. For God's word plans for your good welfare, future, and hope, according to Jeremiah 29:11. God's word changes the unseen, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. God's word makes us new creations, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But some Christians still act like the old nature, so the people in their world don't think that God is a good God, because they don't see any goodness coming out of their lives. So God needs to change our character so we bear more fruit, and that we walk in the gifts of the Spirit as well, and be able to walk according to the love walk. And we should be reading about the love chapter on a daily basis and using that as an affirmation over ourselves. You know, I don't want to only say I'm a loving, forgiving person. I want to go and affirm that in the name of Jesus, I walk in the fruit of the Spirit and name them. In the name of Jesus, I walk in love and I name all the attributes. I want this to be part of my life and be automatic. And so I want to affirm those things over myself as well. And it really is helping. Right, honey? Okay. God's word transforms us. Romans 12, 1 through 13. God's word changes us to walk in the true righteousness and holiness. God's word gives us everlasting life, and God's word causes us to conquer and have his heritage. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Amen. So you are conquering and you have his heritage. And God is watching your word to perform it if it's his word. And the angels of God are standing by, not unemployed, but you deploy them when you use his word instead of your words. And then they take it and they go forth and let it accomplish that which it was sent to do. And so in the name of Jesus, I just pray over each one today that we are going to have more God words in our mouth instead of our own words. And we send the angels of God now to take the words that were spoken today to provide for every need that you have in Jesus' name. Amen.